Welcome to PRN's Progressive Radio News Hour. I'm Steve Lindman. My guest today is Larry Pinkney. I've got three topics to talk about. There is so much going on in one part of the world that we'll devote most of the program to that, and I'm talking about what's happening in Ukraine with literally breaking news today. I wrote one article about Ukraine that I'll get out tomorrow, and literally, as I diverted to another topic to write about, I saw breaking news, and I literally dropped everything in my tracks and jumped right back on beginning to write a second article on what's going on. We'll get into that. I dare say, in his five-plus years in office, Obama, my goodness, what can you say about Obama? We've said so much in this program so many times in the past, and my guest Larry Pinkney, of course, has said the same thing. Can anyone imagine a U.S. leader having done more harm to more people than this guy? Dare I say, maybe any leader in world history. I mean, this guy operates on a global scale. Hitler wanted to dominate Europe, and I'm certainly not downplaying what he did or what Stalin did or what other nefarious rogue leaders of the past have done. Not in any way at all. These people were horrendous, the crimes they committed. Killing millions of people is major, major stuff. Well, Obama is guilty of the same thing. George Bush was, and Obama literally has exceeded the worst of George Bush. At this moment, he's waging multiple direct and proxy wars. He's got other targets in mind. He's trying to destabilize Venezuela. He murdered Hugo Chavez. I'll repeat that. He murdered Hugo Chavez. And now he wants to get rid of Venezuela's new president since last April or March, getting close to a year. Nicolas Maduro. Maduro, like Chavez when he was living, believes Obama wants to kill him. As a matter of fact, last September, he was due to represent his government at the annual General Assembly meetings in New York. And he didn't go because he feared for his life. Did you ever hear of a world leader scared to go to Washington, fearing doing so might get him assassinated? By who? By you know who. He stayed home. He sent someone else in his place. I believe it was his foreign minister. Venezuela is very much under threat now. It's been so before. Washington wanted Venezuela's government, Bolivarian government, toppled for the last 15 years. Ukraine is the big story right now, and I don't mean to diminish what's going on in Syria or the violence that continues in Libya or Afghanistan or Iraq. Big, big stuff. And other parts of the world, Yemen, Somalia. Somalia, there was an attack on the presidential palace where insurgents who only want their government back because America consorted with criminals to steal their country from them, and they attacked the presidential palace. They might have come close to killing the president. Well, they didn't do it. Nothing in the U.S. media reported about this, and I only have sketchy details, so there's very little, and there's almost nothing more than what I've said. Can I mention on the? I wish I knew more, but I simply don't. Haven't seen much of anything in print on this. But the big news is Ukraine. On Friday, it was a deal, a terrible deal. I wrote an article and I called it unconditional surrender. Indeed, it was unconditional surrender. Ukraine's president, democratically elected, good guy or bad guy, certainly Ukrainians deserve a lot better than he gives them. But good guy or bad guy, they elected him. They want a new president. They have to wait for an election and elect somebody else. That's not the way things are playing out. Since last November, there's been violence instigated by Washington and EU partners, killing maybe 100 people, injuring many hundreds. The so-called insurgents, militants, call them anything you want, they're literally being paid by Washington, maybe EU countries as well. A couple of days ago, or maybe a few days ago, might have even been a week ago, I'm in the middle of writing a brief report on it, a CIA agent was captured in Ukraine actively helping the militants, actively helping them, and he's part of a secret CIA operation, its most covert branch, mandated to carry out its most important counterintelligence operations, assassinating foreign leaders, toppling them, the most nefarious things, maybe the toughest things, and this guy is part of that operation. several branches to it with a lot of initials I know very, very little about. In most cases, I know nothing about. Anyway, he's been captured. There's a video on it. When my article is finished, the source will be quoted, and the video will be there for people to see and judge for themselves. I'm certainly not an expert on this, but I believe it's true, because CIA is working actively against the Assad government in Syria, did the same thing against Saddam in Iraq, did the same thing in Afghanistan, did the same thing in Libya, does it everywhere. I can't imagine a country on this planet that isn't infested with CIA agents, and they don't come as goodwill ambassadors, and they're supplemented by U.S. Special Forces. This is the kind of stuff that's going on. And these people, for the activities they're involved in, they come with no ID, no identifiable clothing, and Washington maintains plausible deniability. If they get caught, they're on their own. Washington doesn't know anything about what they're doing, so they say, if they say anything. Anyway, one guy was caught. Doesn't surprise me. Shouldn't surprise most anybody who knows anything about the way America operates. The deal that Yanukovych and three opposition leaders crafted on Friday, signed and sealed, including by the German foreign minister, the Polish foreign minister, the president of Ukraine, and these three officials of opposing parties, fascists is what they are, fascists, the kind of people nobody would want governing them. These are the ones that Yanukovych dealt with. He'll have to explain why. I think he did a terrible thing, and it didn't help one single bit, because today, in the wake of what he did, dozens of his party members, his faithful, bolted his party, maybe 35, 37 or so, maybe it's up to 40 by now, delegates in the Ukraine parliament. They bolted. A military chief resigned. The parliament speaker resigned. They did it to save their careers. They could see the ship is sinking, and they bolted. So the opposition, dominated by fascists, took over the parliament. They impeached Yanukovych. This is the breaking news today. They ousted him. They took over the parliament. They usurped power, coup d'etat, in real time, dare I say. I mean, I called my article yesterday an unconditional surrender. I could have called it a coup d'etat. And before I got this breaking news, I wrote an article titled, Ukraine, U.S. Instigated Coup d'etat. Ukraine, colon, U.S. Instigated Coup d'etat. Having no knowledge whatsoever about the breaking news I got maybe an hour or two later, and then needed to stop in the middle of another article and write about this. Larry, I've gone on much too long. Let me let you jump in on this.
Well, thank you. Thank you again for having me on your show. I definitely appreciate you and it and the audience. Let me say that, Stephen, you summed it up really, I think, very, very, very accurately and very succinctly. The reality is, and I'm so glad you used that word, and that word is the F word, fascism, all right? Because that's what we're looking at. We're looking at U.S.-backed 21st century fascism. Now, the United States, the Obama regime, Obama, as I've said many, many times before, is actually G.W. Bush on steroids. He can smile his bloody smile, but he's G.W. Bush on steroids. And the outrageous activity in which the CIA is engaged literally in hundreds of countries around the world cannot and must not be overlooked. And let me add very quickly that we as Americans must understand that that's really what the NSA, yes, I meant to say NSA, is all about here in this country as well as other countries throughout the world. Of course, they work very closely with the Central Intelligence Agency. And getting back to specifically Ukraine, the reality is you just put it so succinctly. These people are fascists, 21st century fascists. Imagine the U.S. President, any U.S. president, signing a capitulation deal, essentially, is what the Ukrainian president did. He signed a capitulation deal. Frankly, I don't know for a fact why he did this, but I would imagine he knew full well that they intend to kill him. Who's the they? The United States and or its EU partners. He also knows quite well that, and this is not rationalizing because I don't think he should have done it, no matter what. But in any event, he also knows, I'm quite sure, that this is really also a move against Russia, to surround Russia, to control assets that Russia may have, to basically bully and bulldog, if you will, the Russian people. And, of course, all of this being done in the fallacious name of so-called democracy. Why, we don't even have democracy in this country. What a joke. What a sick joke. So I think it's very interesting that what's going on, for example, because it's going on all over the world, but what's going on, for example, in Ukraine actually mirrors what is happening in this nation with the NSA. And COINTELPRO type operations, it's spy operations, it's setup operations. That's what this is all about. Only in other countries, it's quite overt. It's quite overt. We should be outraged. We, the American people, for many reasons, should be outraged and saying no to this drone man, hypocritical, double-talking, lying Barack Obama. So, you know, let's be honest. Let's be real. Let's look at this thing for what it really is and stop trying to play the role of the ostrich with our heads in the sand. Because if your head is in the sand, where does that mean your butt is? It's sticking up. And the butt of the American people is truly, 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 with all due respect, being kicked. And it's time for us to stop it and say no more. What's happening in Ukraine is but another example of bloody U.S. interference in territories and countries where they have absolute, and I'm talking, I say U.S., I mean U.S. government, not the people of the U.S. High time that we stop it, though. Interfering directly in the self-determination issues of people in other countries. So, having said that, I'll just turn it back to you. But you summed it up, Stephen. What can I say?
Well, it's so unnerving and so disturbing, Larry, about what's going on. In my lifetime, I've seen a slow descent by America from policies that were bad. I mean, going back to when I was still a teenager, and certainly as I got into college and postgraduate work and watched America literally go to war against one country after another, some of them direct. I remember World War II. I'm certainly old enough to remember that. I vividly remember Korea. I was in college when that was going on, scared to death, as were other freshmen, I remember especially, who we used to talk to each other and say we needed to be sure we kept our grades up. Otherwise, we might end up in what we call the frozen chosen, meaning the Chosun Reservoir in North Korea, in the dead of winter, no fun place to be. And we simply didn't want to have anything to do with that war. And back then, we had no idea that it was an imperial war, that the story told about the Korean War was absolutely a bald-faced lie. It was Western aggression against North Korea. It wasn't North Korean aggression against the South. Same thing in Vietnam. But, of course, American people are lied to. They never told the truth. Those two countries were destroyed. That certainly appalled me while they were going on, scared me too, wondering who will be next. And it goes on and on. Many proxy wars. I mean, America at any time is waging multiple proxy wars in different parts of the world, in Africa, South America, different ones at different times. Who hears anything about what goes on in the so-called Democratic Republic of the Congo? That I think in the 1990s alone, maybe something on the order of 6 or 8 million people were killed. Anybody hear any stories about that? Anybody hear CNN talk about that or any of the U.S. media? Not a word. And I think people today are dying there because of imperial policies to control the country's resources. And Congo is a huge prize. Congo, the size, literally the size of Western Europe, very, very rich in natural resources. I don't think there's much of any oil there, but there's plenty of other stuff that countries like America and European countries and corporate interests want to exploit, and they have no compunction about the way they do it. And you could go from country to country, big ones, small ones, Ukraine, a prize in Central Europe. It really is a combination of a Western and Eastern European country, but it probably has the richest agricultural land in Europe, some of the richest agricultural land in the world. It has other resources. It's very strategically positioned, and if you control Ukraine, it's the most important by far of the former Soviet republics, and the idea of Russia having influence over Ukraine is absolutely appalling to America. So all of this stuff is going on, and it didn't just erupt last November. This stuff was in the making. Who knows when? It could have been in the making before Obama even became president. I don't know. I don't have inside knowledge into the workings of the CIA or the private halls and conversations that go on in Washington. And it's a bipartisan enterprise, whatever goes on. The congressional leaders, the president, the CIA people, maybe the FBI people, the spy people like NSA, the other spy organizations, you're all in this thing together, working with the European partners, working with Israel, plotting against one country after another. It's imperial conquest. It's dominance. It's exploiting people. It's controlling resources. It's making the world safe for corporate America and war for profiteers, Larry, and so much more.
Well, indeed. Indeed. In fact, I'll tell you what it's making the world safe for, and this, of course, is an opposite. It's making the world safe for nuclear war.
Oh,
that's
indeed
what it's doing. It's making the world safe for World War III. And World War III will not be funny, and the people of Mother Earth, the people of the globe, will lose. And all of us, if we don't do something about this now, the reality is that we have moved so close to a nuclear confrontation. I'm talking about in real time. Just how long? Just how long? Does Obama and his cronies, do they think that, how long do they think that they can push nuclear powers such as Russia, such as China, People's Republic of China, how long? Okay? They understand, both Russia and China, what is going on. And this is not a question of siding with anyone. It's a question of siding with justice. It's a question of siding with sanity. It's a question of us recognizing that we have moved to the very tip of extermination. This has got to be stopped. CNN, PBS, ABC, CBS, Fox News, they are all in this together. All of them. They're all in this together. They are in reality corporate-owned, corporate-controlled, and therefore corporate news for everyday, ordinary, black, white, brown, red, and yellow people, corporate news means no news unless it's lies. And that's what we get. We either get nothing or we get lies, constant. And you mentioned Obama before he became president. Well, I happen to have done a bit of research as a journalist to read some of the papers that Obama is said to purported to have written, at least he signed them, and it was quite clear that in 06 and in 07 and frankly before then, Obama had already made a Faustian deal with the devil, if you will, speaking euphemistically. He had already made it quite plain that he believes in he believes in American imperialist domination. Again, he believes in American imperialist domination, and this is not domination on, for, or on behalf of the American people, which still wouldn't be correct even if it were, but it's not about that. It's about corporate control, corporate domination and blood-sucking everyday ordinary people throughout this planet of Mother Earth. We have got to stop it. I think, yes, it is, it's scary, but more than being scary, I think it's time for us to get angry and say no more. We're just not going to accept this. As far as in the Ukraine, the reality is that as a result of this terrible, terrible deal that the, I have to say, I guess, former Ukraine president made, what is actually happening is that the country is literally falling into utter chaos. And that's precisely what the United States wants, what the U.S. government wants, a corporate-owned government. Because for them, chaos means they can control. They can go in and say, oh, we're just trying to restore order. Sure, the very disorder that they themselves brought about. And we're not just talking about economic disorder, as you mentioned, Stephen, which is bad enough. We're talking about the lives of everyday ordinary people. So this corporate-owned government, Obama and his despicable minions, are in fact supporters of 21st century fascism. He and his minions in this nation, this country, he and his minions in the EU. And again, I want to emphasize, we are moving, have moved rapidly to the very brink of nuclear war.
It's very scary, Larry. We've had two world wars, and both times maybe people thought that, no. I mean, the world doesn't go to war. I mean, you don't get multiple countries going to war with each other and killing millions of people, or in the Second World War killing tens of millions of people. The First World War, the estimates are just that, they're estimates. The numbers for the First World War, something like 25 million people. The Second World War, I've seen numbers ranging from 40 to 60 million people. Nobody knows. Nobody counts all the bodies. But there are many, many millions. And it really is a horrendous situation. And, you know, only winning matters, even on both sides. I don't think that one side is saintly and the other side a sinners. It's not that way at all. I mean, parties to wars, my goodness. I mean, there's plenty of villainy to go around, and America certainly has exhibited plenty of that. And I've written how the war crimes committed by America in all its wars, are every bit as grievous as the worst war crimes committed by any of its enemies. And that includes Hitler. That includes America. Didn't go to war with Stalin.
right. But you know, I find it very interesting. The reason I say Stalin, while Stalin, in fact, the irony, most Americans, not including you, of course, but most Americans are unaware of the fact that in World War II, Russia and the United States were quote unquote allies. In fact, it was Russia and the Eastern Front that broke the back of the Nazi war machine. It was Russia that did that, contrary to popular opinion. Anyway, my point is that irrespective of who these leaders are, who doesn't matter who they are, what matters is what they are doing, not what they're saying, what they are doing. And all we have to do is really look around us to see what they are doing. What is Obama doing in this country? Why, he's telling lie after lie after lie after lie. He is a willing stooge, a willing puppet for the corporatocracy. That's what he is. And he does not care. Why do I say this? Actions speak louder than words. I'm sad to say, as a black American, I'm particularly sad to say that this man, who is supposedly the first, and I put the word black in quotation marks, black U.S. president, has committed more atrocity against black, white, brown, red, and yellow people in this country and in this world than any other U.S. leader. And he's got us at the brink, at the doorstep. I keep saying this, at the brink of nuclear holocaust. This has got to be stopped. This man rationalizes for NSA policies where our privacy, we have no privacy. This man rationalizes for CIA interventions, bloody interventions. This man rationalizes for anything and everything that he is, in fact, responsible for, because he is, after all, the chief executive. And I don't want to hear that nonsense about, oh, he just has to do it. No, what he has to do, if he is a human being, is to do the right thing, not the wrong thing, not the devilish thing. I'm sad to say that Barack Obama and his minions, but Obama in particular, is probably the most dangerous politician right now on the face of this earth.
Yeah, he really is dangerous, and there are people much, much smarter than I am, could ever dream of being, who literally many years ago saw the world heading for a nuclear confrontation, and mainly because of the policies of America long before Obama became president. And it seems that every president we have, Larry, exceeds the worst of the preceding ones. I mean, we could go back three decades or longer, and literally since the decade of Jack Kennedy, who was assassinated, in my opinion, the main reason, many reasons, the power institutions wanted to get rid of him. But in my opinion, the main one was that he wanted to end America's involvement in Southeast Asia. He ordered U.S. troops pulled out of the region when the powers that be wanted more sent there. And he ordered, I think, about a year later, he ordered this, just within months of when he was killed. And about a year later, he wanted all U.S. Forces and elements, CIA, whatever, out of Southeast Asia. He despised the CIA. He said he wanted to tear it to a million pieces and scatter it to the winds, and that's close to an almost verbatim quote. One thing after another, and I think those are the kind of things that got him killed. But since his era, we've literally seen one president after another exceed the worst of his predecessors. I mean, Johnson, who was actively involved in the murder of Jack Kennedy, along with Bush Sr. and other nefarious people in Washington. I think there's a lot of evidence to prove it. As bad as Johnson was, Senior Bush, no, he came after Reagan, Nixon exceeded the worst of Johnson, and then Jimmy Carter was no saint. He only had one term, so there was only so much mischief he could get involved in. Not a direct war, but he supported some of the world's worst scoundrels when he was in office, like Pol Pot. A Jimmy Carter favorite when he was in office, and he may be America's best president in retirement, but he certainly was anything but that when he was president. And then, of course, you had one rogue after another leading up to today, and I'm absolutely convinced, Larry, that whoever succeeds Obama in January 2017 will be worse than he is today. And, of course, it'll take a little while to find out. We'll be disappointed probably straight out of the box, but it'll take a while to see just how bad this person is, whether it's a man or whether it's a woman. And I dread the thought of Hillary Clinton becoming the worst female president of America.
Well, it's again, you summed it up thoroughly and completely. The fact is that irrespective of color or gender, if there's anything that we the American people should have learned by now, is that color and gender have absolutely zilch, nada, zero to do with the integrity, the honesty of our chief executives. They have nothing to do with that. And we should have learned this by now, especially when we look at the drone man, the Obamatron, and what he does, and what he says versus what he does. You know, it's imperative. I keep going back, Stephen, to the point. I'm not even sure, and I mean this quite seriously, I'm not sure we're going to be around for another 2 years. If this insanity continues, I'm just not sure. I'm not sure, because sooner or later, you know, he's going to push, or he and his minions, Obama and his minions, be they the EU, the European Union, be they his minions over here, or combination thereof, they're going to push and push and push, and sooner or later, I'm afraid, well before 2 years, or at least before the end of this person's term, we may be deep into a nuclear holocaust, and once it starts, it can't be stopped.
Yeah, it really can't be stopped. I was trying to think of the first name of the man that I wrote about just a few days ago, a man who was one of Francis Boyle's teachers many, many years ago, Hans Morgenthau. He died in 1980, a very prominent political theorist, thinker of his day, and he called a future nuclear war, before he died in 1980, a virtual certainty. Things were so out of control in his world then, my God, almost 35 years ago. He called it almost virtual certainty would have a nuclear war. The only question was when. We'll take a break, Larry, and we'll come back. We'll talk about what's going on in Venezuela and also about an activist nun who was imprisoned for her anti-war activities. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Talking with Larry Pinkney. Larry, before we jump into Venezuela, let me just mention briefly, I'll have two articles coming out tomorrow. One is written, the other is a work in progress. I'll finish it before the day is out, and they'll both go out tomorrow. And I must say that yesterday I wrote and I put out three articles in the same day about Ukraine. They went out on the 21st. What did I put out today? I lose track. I write so many. But I'll put out two tomorrow. And the first one that I wrote is titled Ukraine, U.S. Orchestrated Coup d'Etat, Before I Knew the Coup d'Etat Was in Progress. And the second article is titled Right-Wing Politicians Usurp Power in Ukraine. I wanted to say fascist politicians, but I'm not certain they're 100% fascist because the Ukraine parliament has hundreds of delegates. I don't know that they're all fascists. I do strongly believe that their parliament is infested with fascists, and no doubt the fascists led the charge to do this very strong vote to usurp power and oust the president. Let me also, I looked up the quote that I mentioned about Hans Morgenthau. This is what he said, and it was, he died in 1980. This was literally a few months before he died. And he said, he was asked to reflect on the future of international relations. And he said, what future, quote unquote, what future? In my opinion, the world is moving ineluctably toward a third world war, a strategic nuclear war. I do not believe anything can be done to prevent it. The international system is simply too unstable to survive for long. Well, I guess it survived longer than he thought, Larry, but it certainly, I believe, moves closer and closer, in his words, ineluctably, toward that inevitable nuclear war he foresaw. And he was a great thinker of his day. If Francis Boyle were on here right now, Francis would extol this man, because he certainly did. And in an article I wrote some time ago, I mentioned what Francis had to say about him. A great teacher, a great thinker, the kind of person that we need around today, commenting on events in the world. I'm certain he would pull no punches saying what he sees is going on. The kind of stuff that you and I are talking about, Larry, in a very erudite way. He would have been a marvelous guest. I'm afraid I'm 35 years too late.
Never too late, never too late. But let me jump very quickly. I know we're going to go to the topic of Venezuela, but let me just say very quickly, whether they are these people who have literally taken the government of Ukraine from the people of Ukraine, whether they consider themselves fascist, all of them or not, some of them definitely do and are pretty blatant about it. Others are supporting those folks who are pretty blatant about it. So my question then is, just a rhetorical question, is then what are they? I have to honestly say that what I see happening and occurring in Ukraine is U.S. support for what I call neoliberal fascists. But it still comes down to that word, fascists. And whether they consider themselves that or not, as my parents would say, the proof of the pudding is in the taste. And the taste in this particular situation in Ukraine is acidic. It's horrible. It's despicable. It's repugnant. It goes against everything that we in this country claim that we hold dear, near, and dear. So Just wanted to elaborate on that very quickly.
Oh, thank you, Larry. And we can jump into Venezuela. And something very similar is going on there. Nothing as extreme as what's been going on in Ukraine, but it's extreme enough to have caused a number of injuries. I think there have been 6 or 8 people killed. Again, these are fascist elements that are instigating this. And vicious reporting by the U.S. media coming out of Venezuela, blaming the violence, just the way the president of Ukraine is blamed for the fascist violence against the Ukrainian people and his government. The government of Venezuela, the Maduro government, the Bolivarian government, is wrongfully blamed about the fascist-instigated violence committed against the Venezuelan people. And I'm looking at a report that was sent to me, headline, Bravo, a friend of mine. I knew this happened. It stated today, and my friend sent it to me with a headline, Bravo, Bravo, and its headline, CNN says Venezuela revoked correspondence credentials. Well, let me add my own Bravo to my friend's Bravo, because CNN has reported nothing but state-sponsored propaganda coming out of Caracas, coming out of other areas of Venezuela. I believe they have about 6 of their people down there. They have an international operation, and I think those are the people broadcasting. They do it in English, and they do it in Spanish, and it's straight propaganda all the time. I know what's going on. I've written about 4 or 5 articles on what's going on in Venezuela. I'm certain I'll do more, because so far this stuff shows no signs of stopping. But the name of the game is the same thing. In Ukraine, it's toppling a democratic government. In Venezuela, it's doing the exact same thing. It's doing it violently. It's stoking all kinds of propaganda against the government. It's trying to enlist public support for something that everybody in the country should condemn, except, you know, the corporate interests and the elitists who benefit from this kind of activity. But the great majority of Venezuelans absolutely are against it, and the Ukrainians, if they stop to think about what's going on, would absolutely deplore this, and yet too many of them don't deplore it, because they're simply out of the loop, and they don't pay attention, and they don't know what's going on. But I think most Venezuelans do, whether they're connected online, Larry, or not, and they're very much against this. The ordinary people that the Bolivarian policies of Venezuela have helped are absolutely, totally against what's going on. And I think if they have to, they'll put their bodies on the line to save the Bolivarian benefits they've gotten. Free education, free health care, completely free, subsidized housing, subsidized food, the highest minimum wage in Latin America. It's raised repeatedly. It's raised. I mean, they need to raise it more often, but it's repeatedly waged. The government literally devotes the majority of its revenues to social benefits. Can you name another country in the world? Can anybody listening to this program name another country in the world that devotes the majority of its revenues to giving social benefits to the people of the country? In other words, the government collects revenues. In Venezuela, they're mostly oil-related, something on the order of maybe $100 billion a year, other revenues as well, and they devote... I wrote an article some weeks ago, Larry, and if I remember the number, in the newest budget, the 2014 budget, I think the percentage was 62% of the state budget devoted to social benefits. That's absolutely astonishing, Larry, and I think that percentage is more than Venezuela ever did under Hugo Chavez.
You know, I was speaking with Cynthia McKinney a couple weeks ago, and we were both talking about just that, what you've just been describing. And, of course, what you have described is appalling to the corporate elite of this country and the corporate elite throughout the West in particular. So it's how dare you raise the living standards of your own people. How dare you do that? How dare you provide health care, affordable, free health care? Now, that's affordable. How dare you provide education and raise, even when Chavez, when Hugo Chavez was president of Venezuela, under his government, they literally raised to an astounding rate the education of the, in other words, I'm talking about schools, colleges, etc. the availability of that to everyday, ordinary Venezuelan people. But, of course, the power elite, the corporatocracy, these bloodsuckers, in the name of democracy and freedom, have the unmitigated audacity to say that, oh, no, no, this is anti-democracy. This is anti, excuse me, since when is serving the people body and soul, as we used to say in the Black Panther Party? Since when is that anti-democracy? They have flipped on its head what democracy supposedly means, both in other nations as well as folks right here in the United States. I am personally appalled at the horrors that are being perpetrated in the name of the American people, and we better damn well wake up and do something about it, because you know what? What goes around comes around. And it's coming around right here in this country if we don't put a stop to it. It's happening even as we speak. Imagine corporations, people. A corporation, a person with the rights of a human being. I mean, just imagine the nefarious implications of all of these things right here in this country. But as far as Venezuela, you know, is concerned, we have the obligation as human beings, black, white, brown, red, and yellow human beings, we have the obligation and responsibility, if you will, to support the everyday people in Venezuela and to get the hell out of, or get this government, this Obamatron out of that country, as well as, by the way, he's in East Africa, he's in North Africa, he's in Southern Africa, and he is doing his utmost, okay, through AFRICOM, A-F-R-I-C-O-M, to destabilize any country which might have the opportunity to stand on its own, make its own policies, and serve their own people. Oh, no. So it's Venezuela, for sure, and it's a lot of other countries as well.
Yeah, it's plenty of other countries, Larry. There still are independent countries in this world, and Obama wants them all eliminated and subservient pro-Western stooge governments replacing them. And his modus operandi is using CIA operatives or using the Marines or whatever, drone warfare or any kind of warfare, either assassinating foreign leaders, toppling them by coups, or waging war against them to destroy the country and get rid of the leaders. And, I mean, this has been Obama's agenda for over 5 years. It was Bush's agenda for 8 years. And, I mean, this went on before. It was Clinton's agenda. My God, I mean, Clinton waged war, his own kind of war against Iraq. You don't hear about that. People probably don't remember his Balkans wars throughout his entire tenure, the genocide he let go on against the Rwandan people. There was so much that Clinton did that most people have no idea, as well as waging war against ordinary Americans, especially the most disadvantaged ones. His anti-welfare program caused more harm to more single impoverished mothers than any president preceding him. And of course, his policies live on today. And it goes on. You could go back as far as you want to go and see horrible things going on. And at the same time, we had good things along with bad things in the New Deal years, in the Great Society years, in Harry Truman's Fair Society years. I mean, these were wonderful things that were initiated. Harry Truman, by the way, was the first recipient of Medicare after it came into being in Lyndon Johnson presented it to Harry Truman in I don't know the date. I know I mentioned it in an article way back. I don't know the date, but he presented it to Harry and Bess Truman both, I think, a number one and number two, or maybe co-number ones, Medicare recipients, because they were the ones involved. They really wanted something like this. It never happened during Truman's years. I guess he never wanted it enough. Anyway, they were the first recipients, and we got this. And Obama, literally, George Bush wanted to eliminate it, wanted Social Security eliminated. Obama wants exactly the same thing, and Obama is in the process of dismantling Medicare by charging people more and more for it. And just today, I saw a blurb in opposition to some of his party members in Congress. He wants Medicare providers paid less, where already they're paid far too little. And believe me, I know, Larry, because I'm on Medicare, and I see a lot of doctor bills that come in, and I see the amount that Medicare pays. My goodness, I mean, it's a pittance, and I have a Medicaid backup plan, insurance plan, that pays some of the residual that Medicare does not pay, so at least my providers get something half reasonable for the services they provide. But in many cases, it may not be half their normal fees, and sometimes, I mean, they're really, I'm shocked at how low the fees are that they get for some services they perform, and this is a system, and Obama wants to chop more. He really wants the system privatized. He wants Social Security privatized, and if those two things are privatized, it's kiss them goodbye, all gone, hand it over to Wall Street, they'll disappear, Wall Street will milk it for all the profit they can get, and then they're gone. Well, none of this exists in Venezuela. None should exist in any just society.
That's right. That's right. And speaking of Wall Street, my brother, I'm glad you mentioned Wall Street. You know, for those in the audience who may be saying to themselves, why America, the U.S. would never, ever, okay, go into a country and be agent provocateurs, if you will, to bring about the death and destruction of ordinary citizens there. I want to ask them, I want to remind them, those in the audience, think about what the U.S. did, be they Democrat or Republican, they all feed from the same trough. What did they do to the Occupy movement? It is well documented that the United States FBI and other intelligence agencies, including many local police departments, actually sent in agent provocateurs. Why? In order to bring about violence, and then they'd have a rationale for coming down hard on the Occupy movement. They did this throughout the United States. Now, if they did that here, and they have, they haven't stopped. What do you think they're doing in other countries? I mean, come on, people. Let's just use our common sense. That's all I'm asking. Use your common sense. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to understand what is really going on, both internationally, whether it's Ukraine, whether it's Venezuela, whether it's Libya, whether it's Syria. Don't have to be a rocket scientist to understand. Just use your common sense. And this so-called news media that we have, come on, folks. You know we don't have a news media. We have state propaganda. That's what we have, corporate-controlled state propaganda. It's time for us to be our own media. Time for us to, in unison, in one voice, say no, not only in terms of our voice, but in terms of making it clear to these politicians whom I call pimps, be they Democrat or Republican, blood-sucking pimps, it's time for us to say no, no, whether it's Obama or his cronies in the Democrat and Republican parties.
Oh, indeed, Larry. In the time we have left, let's shift and talk about a wonderful woman. I'll just mention one thing that made my eyes light up, and I didn't check to see if the numbers are accurate, but I saw just in the last couple of days a report that said CNN and MSNBC TV ratings are down something on the order of 50%. I said, my goodness. Maybe it's on route to going down to nothing. I mean, it shows right. At least a fair hunk of people are wising, whatever the percentage is. It shows an awful lot of people are wising up to the garbage these people put out and are simply voting with their feet and walking away. And that's the one way to beat the corporate media, Larry. If you tune them out, if you stop reading their publications, there's not a damn thing they can do about it. Let's talk about Sister Megan Rice. We're running short on time. I wrote an article 3 days ago. I titled it Peace Activist Nun Imprisoned. I thought that really summed up what's happening. Sister Megan Rice, Roman Catholic nun. She's an anti-nuclear activist. She's age 84. She's committed for peace. She's been involved in numerous anti-war protests. She literally was arrested more than 36 times. She was arrested twice before. Each time it was for 6 months. On February 18th, she was sentenced to 35 more months in prison for her actively nuclear activism. She managed, with two other anti-nuclear activists, to get through the security fence or whatever kind of a system they have at Oak Ridge, Tennessee. And she went in and did some damage, chipped some stuff off a wall, sprayed some biblical graffiti on the walls, and then they simply sat down, and I think they lit a candle, and they prayed, and they waited to be arrested. And finally, a Oak Ridge guard came along and spotted them. They offered him food. They began singing. I guess they urged him to join them in singing. They knew they'd be arrested. Well, they were arrested. I'm sure he called the police, had them arrested. They were put on trial. The prosecutors, I think, wanted the max thrown at them. And I saw different numbers, but one source quoted the possibility that they could have been imprisoned for this, a nonviolent act, except for some damage, which was exaggerated to the tune of $50,000. It was nothing of that sort, but that's what came out in the court trial. And the prosecutor wanted possibly up to 30 years or 35 years in prison. Well, Megan got 35 months. The other two got 62 months. They're in prison right now. And Megan said to the judge, I don't have the quote right in front of me, but to the effect that you would do me a great favor if you put me in prison for life. And one of her close associates explained, saying, she doesn't care, because whether she's in prison or whether she's out of prison, she'll do exactly the same thing. She'll think, she'll pray about anti-nuclear activism, about stopping nuclear wars. This is her whole life's mission, to prevent a nuclear war from happening, and she does it very heavily in prayer. Well, I'm for doing it any way possible, and this is the way that she does it, plus her activism. So she doesn't care whether she's in a cell or on the street or whatever she's doing. And she called it, it would be a great honor to be in prison for life, doing what she calls the most important work that anybody could possibly do. Well, she's in prison, and she's been there before her trial, but she's there now, and I wrote about her. She's one of America's best, Larry, and I've said many times, and I said in this article, that America honors its worst, and it persecutes its best.
Yes. Yes, and as you were talking about Sister Megan Rice, I have to tell you that goose pimples just went all through my body. You know, she is indeed one of America's best. We should be honoring her and in our own ways emulating her. All power to her. All power to all of us who are trying to stop this insanity.
Oh, indeed, Larry. I can't imagine a greater life's mission than wanting to save the world from a nuclear holocaust. And that's exactly what Sister Megan feels. I don't have a way to drop a picture into my own personal articles. There are some websites where I can drop a picture in, but I don't have the software that I can put out an article the way I compose them through my Apple system, which is a simple system that I use. I tried to do it once and it fouled up my whole article. So I simply couldn't do it. So I stopped trying. And once it goes on somebody's website, a picture can be dropped in very easily. But I saw a picture of her. I mean, she looks like the kind of woman who'd be doing exactly what she's engaged in. Just a woman. You can see the human kindness exuding out of her persona. That's the kind of person she is. All give and no take, Larry. How many people are there like that in the world?
Wow. I think of, what was it, Margaret Mead, who said that never doubt that a small group of thoughtful people can make a difference. In fact, it's the only thing that ever has.
Oh, indeed.
Wow.
Indeed. She sure did say that, and I've quoted her a few times. She's long gone. I think she was pretty active back in the 1950s or 60s.
Yes.
I believe I read one of her books back in college. She indeed said that. And I think it's true. I mean, a small group of abolitionists was the vanguard that literally was the campaign against abolitionism, against ending slavery. And it was that
That's
commitment
right.
by a small group that really created the momentum to have that happen. I mean, events had a great part in making it happen. But if it weren't for these people, it probably never would have happened. It's the same
right.
thing about changing the world now, Larry.
You are absolutely correct. That's why I go back to saying that we have both an obligation and a responsibility as human beings on this precious, precious planet of Mother Earth. We have a personal and collective responsibility as humans to do something about this and to do it now.
We're getting a little up in years, Larry. At least I am. I think I may have a few years on you. So, I mean, if anything happens to me at this point, I can look back, and I've had a lot of decades behind me going way back since the 1930s. And but young people today are the ones who really should be concerned. And they have it so easy because they can access online stuff that people of my era never could imagine. I mean, to do any kind of research, you had to go to the library, you had to go through Rolodex cards, you had to comb through library stacks. My God, it's all on our desktops now, Larry. It's a piece
right.
of cake. I mean, my computer literally just about has the Library of Congress sitting right in front of me. I can reach out and touch it. Well, it wasn't that way for me when I was in college and when I was at the University of Pennsylvania doing graduate work, Larry. We're almost out of time. But I saw the original computer, UNIVAC or something like that. UNIVAC. It was in a big room with thousands of blinking lights, with people running around, I imagine changing light bulbs. And this was the state of the art back in those days. And I have more power on my desktop than maybe 100 ENIACs.
Wow.
Larry, the hour is up. I wish we could go on. I look forward to having you back for more. Indeed, it was a great joy to have you on to discuss this. We'll have plenty more to talk about in the future.
Thank you. Please stay strong. Take care. Love you, Stephen.
Thank you, Larry.